powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Happy Wednesday. One more day until opening day. We're going to be getting you guys ready. We're going to have Root Sports Ryan Roland Smith joining us at noon to talk Mariners and give Jake some American Ninja Warrior advice, because you're running through that course
it.
We're 48 hours away.
Yep.
Now, are you allowed to tell Curtis and I how you do?
No,
okay. I'm not allowed to tell you. So I have to keep that
right.
Completely.
Yeah, totally. Jake's telling me.
No, I am not. I have to keep it completely to myself. It is top secret. I can't give it away. You're going to have to wait until.
Is Brooke allowed to know?
Let's ask Brooke.
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to keep that away from my wife. I mean, she's going to know.
Right, right.
It's true. It's marriage.
Yeah,
you can't keep secrets.
No. Yeah, you can't keep secrets from best friends.
As I often tell people, that anybody that wants to tell me a secret, if you're going to tell me a secret, then you got to be okay with my wife knowing.
Right.
Because I can't keep it from her.
That's the best thing about being married.
That's right. You automatically get to reveal a secret to somebody.
Hey.
Yeah, you get to spill tea about your friends to somebody.
Curtis,
but that's where it stops. It stops right there. I don't tell anybody else.
Note to self, we're contacting Brooke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
She's not telling you.
We're also going to have Mike Salk joining us at 11:30. He's going to talk a bit about Tyler Lockett, but mostly about Bob Stelton's shirtless photos. You're going to find out what happened then. Seattle Times Seahawks reporter Bob Condotta joining us at 11:45 to help us figure out how much flexibility the Seahawks could have now. We don't have exact numbers on Tyler Lockett's contract outside of just the full value of the contract, so we don't know if it frees up cap space. I would assume it did, right? That's one positive incentive of extending someone. But speaking of, let's talk about said extension. Tyler Lockett is getting paid. He's reportedly signed a 4-year, $69.2 million contract extension with the Seattle Seahawks, which would keep him with his team through 2026, or I believe he'd become a free agent after that season. 28 years old, he remains their number one receiver. Now, I know a lot of eyes are going to DK Metcalf, and I know that they're going to need to pay DK Metcalf, Jake. But you still lock up Tyler Lockett through the next several years. He has been one of the most underrated players in the league, and I say that knowing that plenty of other people have him on their fantasy teams, knowing that plenty of other teams watch Tyler Lockett and know he's great. But since DK Metcalf has been here, he's been seen as the number one receiver, but make no mistake, Tyler Lockett's still leading the team with targets and receptions. So he is locked up for another couple years, and the Seahawks offense taking shape for a while here.
And someone who is in the history books of this franchise. So you talk about the excitement level that I have with this deal being done for Tyler Lockett, 4-year deal. It's a mega extension. He's getting $17 million per year through this contract, and we'll see what the details look like. But this is something that I've advocated for this offseason, is you either need to find ways to recoup some of the capital that you may lose if you don't sign Tyler Lockett back if he hits the open market next year, or give him an extension now and lock him up for the foreseeable future, and you're able to alleviate some cap space. So it does one of two things. It allows you to alleviate cap space this year and allows you to continue to get back into the market and keep adding to this roster, and it secures one of the best receivers you've had in franchise history. That's what Tyler Lockett is. And Tyler Lockett, to me, is one of those guys that isn't the flashiest player that you're going to come across in the NFL. He's not one of the guys that you're going to look at and remember in the history books and remember just back in the day, man, do you remember when Tyler Lockett played? I think that Seahawks fans will have that memory, not necessarily NFL fans. But make no mistake, Tyler Lockett is one of the true great receivers in this league. He is consistent. He is a playmaker. He is a guy that can get it done on third down in the red zone. And I just can't wait. I just can't wait to hear more and more of these types of plays being made.
Luke Wilson in motion on the left side. Russell, play fake, steps back, has time, still surveying the field. Now he rolls left. Now he scrambles. Now he's going to throw to the back of the end zone. Reaching up, making a catch. Did he get his feet in? He did! Touchdown, Seahawks! The littlest guy on the field climbed the ladder, kept his toenails in, and Tyler Lockett put 6 on the board for the Seahawks from 13 yards out.
with that, Jake, the star receiver of my all-petite squad remains in Seattle.
That's right. He does remain in Seattle. And you have one of the most dynamic receiving groups in the NFL in terms of receiving duos. Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, the Seattle Seahawks have ensured that at least over the next couple years that this group will remain with Russell Wilson, and you will have one of the more dynamic passing offenses in the NFL. Now, Tyler, to me, is somebody that, as I said before, doesn't get enough credit for what he's done. This was a deal that once they gave Tyler his initial extension, he did nothing but pay it off in a big, big way. Healthy, available for the majority of his time, has had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, has you know, he clips the 100-yard reception mark this last year. He had, you know, the last 3 years, he's had, you know, 28 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy's been balling and performing at an extremely high level, and not to mention how big of an impact he's had and how great a chemistry he has with Russell Wilson. And here in cut number four, you got Russell Wilson already before this deal was signed. How much of a blessing it is, in his words, to throw to both
those guys. I think having great ball players, we have so many guys that can step up and step in, and you have so many great players. But those two guys, DK and Tyler Lockett, they're, you know, arguably the two best receivers in the game, in my opinion, just how they play. And they got so much talent, and they got so much ability, and they're so, they're, you know, Tyler's, you know, older, but both of them are still very young and still just continue to grow. And I'm glad that they're on our team, that's for sure. It's a blessing to be able to throw the football to them.
And again, like, he is unappreciated at times because he, I don't know about older, of the two for sure, but he is a smaller receiver. He's not DK Metcalf. And DK Metcalf, in part, is appreciated and gawked at just because of his size and how fast he is. And it feels like this, like, physically just gifted person. Tyler Lockett, he's got to work a little harder for it. But he's had it pay off. And Pete Carroll kind of hinting at that in cut number three. He says he not only quietly had a great season, but also has had a great career.
Tyler Lockett, you know, to have his numbers, and he didn't even come close to it. I mean, he had to get 7 for a record, and he got 12 catches today. Had a fantastic day. 2 great touchdown passes for us, and just beautiful catches. And just a beautiful season he had all throughout. Man, everybody should... You know, it's almost quietly because he's just so consistently good, but he had a fantastic year and he's had a great career, and really proud for that.
I know that Seahawks fans are nervous right now about spending money because this team doesn't have a lot of money. They don't have a lot of money. They have 3 draft picks, which is the fewest of any team in the draft. They're tight on resources right now. The salary cap is going to get bigger next year and the year after that and the year after that. So you're going to get some relief there. But also importantly, you need more than one big weapon on offense. You need more than one weapon on offense. When's the last time a team won a Super Bowl with, like, one top receiver and no one else? Right? Like, the last team I can think of, maybe the Carolina Panthers, where Cam Newton, like, was that offense. And there were certainly other weapons around him. But mostly, when you think of those teams that actually get to the Super Bowl with elite offenses, they do it with a lot of weapons.
Yeah.
So, like, you're going to need to have 2 top receivers. Keeping Tyler Lockett is a good thing for you.
Well, but to also talk about the cap concerns, I mean, this helps you in 2021. This move helps alleviate a bunch of cap space for you. He had, going into this year, the 3rd highest cap hit out of any Seahawk on this roster. So this deal was obvious in terms of the way they wanted to rework it. The Seahawks tried to do that with Jaron Reed. Jaron Reed was not so up for the idea to restructure, and so much so that he wanted out when the Seahawks approached him. But Tyler Lockett, on the other hand, they found a deal that worked for both sides, and they were willing to do this. And this is a good market rate deal for Tyler Lockett. It's not number one in the NFL money, but he is certainly, with the production that he has given over the last 3 years, this is a contract that is very deserved. And over the next couple years, as you had mentioned, the Seahawks have more cap space, significantly more cap space over the next few years. The cap will continue to keep going up over the next few years. So this deal does not worry me in their ability to re-sign DK Metcalf and their ability to give an extension to Jamal Adams. This does not put them in a bad situation. This is a good deal for them in a lot of different ways. I think that Tyler will continue to keep proving that through his production that this deal and this extension was worth it for the Seahawks. And I just have to say, like, as a former teammate of Tyler, I am thrilled for him because he is a true pro. Like, he is zero drama at a position that always seems to find drama type of diva players. Tyler is no nonsense. He's a guy that has a great attitude every single day, no matter what's going on. He's a great teammate. He, you know, the moment that DK Metcalf arrived, he didn't look at him as competition, didn't look at him as a guy that was going to take away reps or catches away from him. He immediately embraced him and took him under his wing and tried to show him the ropes. I mean, you just look at Tyler, and he is everything that you want as a player, as a teammate within this organization. And so, in my opinion, this was the easiest check that the Seahawks could have written out of a lot of the players that they have on this roster.
Now, the question that's coming up a lot on the text line right now, which I think is a fair one, is does it incentivize Russell Wilson to stay here long term? Because I got to tell you right now, I'm not convinced he's here in 2022 or beyond. I don't know how much this relationship has been repaired with maybe just the signing of Gabe Jackson even. That's a show of good faith, I think, on the part of the Seahawks, because they're investing a great deal of money in draft capital in that pick. They're not going to go out and spend a ton of money and mortgage the future on Joe Tooney, which is, I'm sure, a guy Russell Wilson would have wanted. But you get a pretty serviceable guard bringing in Gabe Jackson, and now you lock up your top receiver for the next several years. I mean, does that sway Russell Wilson?
I think so. I think it gives you a great opportunity to look at your receiver tandem. You have one of the best receiver tandems in the NFL, and you know that that is going to be locked up and is going to be here in Seattle for the foreseeable future, because they're not going to let DK Metcalf walk out the door, especially if Russell Wilson is here as their quarterback. So I think that the standing right now is very good. The outlook should be very good if you're a Seahawks fan. And I think that as you move forward, it will still be determined by what they end up doing this year. And I think that the secured aspect of their future is very, very strong. But you have to look at it and say, okay, you went and traded for a Gabe Jackson. How does that one turn out? And I feel very confident that it will. I'm confident in what they're building and what they're going to do. And so I don't have as much pessimism as you do, Stacey, about the future of where Russell Wilson, I call it pessimism, about where Russell Wilson's going to be following next year. I just think that these moves that they're making is just solidifying what they're building and what they're going towards and the commitment to this offense. And so I think that it's exciting to have Tyler, knowing that he's going to be here for the next 5 years, and also knowing that this deal is going to alleviate the cap hit that they have with Tyler this year, and it's going to allow them to do more things. Also, they did the same thing. They gave an extension to Gabe Jackson, so you had two new extensions that just happened as of the past 24 hours that's come out. And so I think that allows the Seahawks to continue to be aggressive to address corner, receiver three, mm-hmm. defensive tackle. There are a number of different positions that I think they can still make their roster better with.
Now, one thing, we have about 2 minutes here before we jump into three questions. I am for this deal. I think it was the right move for the team. I think if you want to be a Super Bowl team, you need a lot of weapons. Someone tried to correct me, telling me the Panthers didn't win a Super Bowl because I said that they were the last team I could think of that weren't like loaded with weapons. I said that they were in a Super Bowl.
Correct. But they went to the Super Bowl.
Exactly. But that's what
they
I said.
Had,
I
but they had. Won. They had.
But
they
what
didn't
I'm
have great
is,
receivers, but they had
exactly
a three-headed
right.
monster in their running game.
Yes.
So they, to your point, absolutely. You're going to need, and the reality for this team is that you can have a good defense.
Mm-hmm.
You can't bank on this defense becoming Legion of Boom-esque again. I think that they're, and have always said this over the past couple years, is that their best chance is to make sure that their offense can compete and is one of the best in the league. That is going to be their opportunity, their way of getting back to the Super Bowl. And Tyler Lockett's been an instrumental piece in this offense being at its best.
Now, it does take away, though, one trade piece. This is something that Curtis Rogers brought up when we were all prepping for our show. This news broke when we were prepping. And we said, you know, we had talked about the potential, and none of us wanted to see it, but the potential of a guy like Tyler Lockett being used as one of Seattle's few resources to acquire picks, because they have three and they don't have a lot of draft capital. So we said, what can they do? What do they have at their disposal? And Tyler Lockett felt like one of those guys. That's off the table now.
It is, but that's why we came down to two decisions. you either have to trade or you have to extend. And that was the realistic decisions that you were going to be with. And Tyler Lockett, there's just no way that they're going to trade him. I never saw a world where the Seahawks would trade Tyler. He's too valuable to this team. He means too much to this team and to this organization, and they value him tremendously. And so when you put it all together, and we heard that cut of Pete Carroll just saying, you know, he's quietly had a great season, a great career, and he doesn't get the attention he deserves, that's how they truly feel within that building. Now, he is a difference maker for this team and this offense. And so why would you give that away when you can't adequately right. replace him? And so this was always going to be the option that made the most sense. I was surprised to see a 4-year extension. I thought maybe a 2-year extension was more likely, but I still think this is a great move for the Seahawks. It makes a ton of sense.
All right, it is 11:15. That means it's time for three questions brought to you by Tila Mortgage.
It's time for three questions.
Can't wait for it.
Every day at 11:15, three burning questions for Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
That's the dumbest question you could ask. What?
Gonzaga breezing their way to the Final Four last night, blowing out USC.
Man.
When do you guys think the Zags will make that transition from America's sweetheart to the villains?
Next year. Next year, when they roll out again and they are dominating the landscape and they go and potentially get to the Final Four again and they are rolling in the 5-star recruits, they're not going to be the plucky team that is putting things together with lower recruits. They're not going to be the plucky team that is, you know, getting transfers from all over internationally that aren't really competing with the blue-blooded programs around the country for recruits. Gonzaga's entering this new phase, which is exciting, of becoming a true, legitimate, blue-blooded program across the country. It's amazing. They're in Spokane, Washington, and Mark Few has just been able to steadily continue to build this program more and more and more and solidify it more and more. So I would say next year, if they're in a Final Four again, I don't think they become a sweetheart. I think they're not the sweetheart anymore. They become the villain.
There's got to be an in-between place where it's like a team that eventually you're like, oh, here goes Gonzaga. Like, we all love to see an underdog. You know what I mean? I'm sure that there are people that are looking at UCLA saying, wow, from going to the First Four to being in the Final Four, that's insane. How incredibly exciting for them. But obviously, certainly here in Washington, we're rooting for Gonzaga. But I think that's also the context that kind of keeps you from being a villain. Look at teams that have become a villain, right? The context around them usually plays into that. So Duke, part of what plays into them being a villain, and I'm just going to say it, is the presumption that, like, at Duke, you've got a lot of money and you're this, like, spoiled rich guy and you're out there. You know what I mean? Like, that's what people have hated about, like, some of those guys. Not just the idea that they're always in there and always crush people, but the idea that they've somehow got it better than you. And that also played into the Patriots. It wasn't just Tom Brady, and it wasn't just them winning. It was Tom Brady looking like a model, married to a model, both of them being rich, and also Boston having every other team win all the time, and their fans being particularly unlikable. That also played into them being villains.
So are you saying that Zags fans are unlikable?
No. I'm saying that it is hard to make Spokane a villainous kind of place in the way that you can with a Boston or a city where there's a ton of winning teams all the time.
That's
I'm
fair.
Saying like it almost like it's almost like being in Washington, being Gonzaga, having relatively recent success. Like, this started, what, Curtis, mid-90s, late 90s?
First tournament appearance was 95, but 95. They didn't make their run until 99.
That's recent. That's not that long ago. I know if there's like a 20-year-old listening, they're like, what are you talking about? That was ages ago. But I don't know why they sound like that. But it really
like
wasn't.
Mickey Mouse.
It wasn't that long ago. I think it's going to take a while for them to be the villain, and it might take some other stuff too.
Well, I don't know. I think that people, when you have you play in the WCC and you're constantly looked at as somebody that plays in a cupcakes, you play a cupcake schedule every single year. Mm. There are people that are going to be bitter about that heading into the tournament with that luxury. How often did we talk about the Patriots playing in the AFC East, a horrible division and how much easier they had it than everybody else.
Yeah, but
I think the Zags will benefit from that too.
You know what else you hated about the Patriots? That it felt unfair, not only that they won all the time, but that the Celtics were good for a while, that the Red Sox were good for a while. Like, it felt like they were just constantly winning. The Bruins. Like, it was like, God, you guys get everything. That also played into it.
I mean,
you can't make Spokane evil.
Those coastal elites out in Spokane.
Yeah.
I don't think you can make them evil, but I do think that people will get tired of them very, very quickly for some odd random reason. And because they're not a major market program, they want to see the Dukes, the North Carolinas, the Kentuckys, the Kansas Jayhawks. They want to see those blue-blooded programs be in the Final Four and winning championships, not the Zags. And I'm going to love every single bit of it because I truly love the transition that the Zags have taken. I'm rooting for them all the way.
Speaking of villains, I am slowly becoming a villain of the show with people insisting that I said Carolina win the Super
Check
Bowl.
The
There's
tape.
Like most people.
Stacey,
I
what,
feel like I didn't
on.
Say that.
What if you
I know
did?
I didn't.
What if you did?
Delete the tape. Delete the tape.
So
I'll
there's
be
not even going to be an apology.
I'm gonna be like, absolutely not. I'm going to be like the Boston guy that's going to be like, oh, I'll just delete this right now. You don't need to see it.
At the Cincinnati game?
Hold on. No, I'm just I'm doing some homework here. I was testing you guys.
Yeah. We weren't recording the sideline.
Number two.
Mariners opening day tomorrow. A lot of positives heading into this season for the Mariners, but what is your biggest area of concern for them in the 2021 season?
Oh, man. Well, my obvious concern for them is the pitching. Is the pitching going to hold up? Is it going to be legit? Is it going to be serviceable to where they can actually win games and do it on a consistent basis? That's the big question that I have. My biggest concern is that you don't see a step forward from Evan White, Kyle Lewis, J.P. Crawford. Who else am I missing? Justice Sheffield. You don't see that group that were rookies a year ago that go into their second year and they stay the same or they regress. That would be my biggest concern heading into this year. Don't want to see that happen.
I'm going to borrow from Mike Salk here because we talked about this with him the other day. I think, yeah, pitching specifically. Marco, I'm sure, will be fine. Paxton has been great in Cactus League play. It's obviously very limited. And he's got to make sure he doesn't get injured, but otherwise he's looked great. I hope that Dunn can take a step forward. I don't really know what Flexen looks like out there. I mean, we'll see him in the finale of this opening series. So I'm a little bit...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that.
If I have to choose between excited or concerned, I'm going to choose concern, even though it sounds a little more negative than I mean it to.
I think it's very fair. Like,
thank
Kikuchi,
you.
Are you going to step up or not? Like... Shannon Dreyer can tell me all she wants about what's under the hood and the numbers and the deeper analytics, which is great. But sometimes the bigger stuff, it means something for a reason. So can Kikuchi keep the ERA down? Can he keep the walks down? When things get tough and he's in a hard spot, can he get himself out of a jam? Can he prove himself to be a legitimate pitcher that matches his talent? Because his talent is off the charts. His stuff is off the charts. Can he put it all together? That will be a big determining factor in all this.
Last question.
Number three.
Tyler Lockett signed an extension, so what should be the next priority for the Seahawks?
The next priority to me is going to be corner. I look at the corner situation right now, and although I really like DJ Reed... And I think that the Akilla Witherspoon signing makes sense. I'm not overly positive about what that group looks like. And Stacey, you and I got into this a little bit about you being very, you know, concerned about the cornerback group. And if you can't get the pass rush going and within your own division, you're upgrading at the quarterback position. You're going to be playing Aaron Rodgers. You're going to be playing some of the better teams in the league this year. Your secondary has got to be able to hold up, and I do agree with that, and I do think they need to make one more good, solid addition, and I believe that that's going to come more from the veteran side of the market than it is going to be from a rookie. We'll see what ends up happening, but I think corner is an obvious one where the market is still strong enough out there in free agency, Stacey, where you could easily see them add a good veteran player to this roster. Receiver... I don't feel as confident. I mean, to be honest, right now at this point, it's Antonio Brown or I want a draft pick. That's basically where it's at. And Antonio Brown, you have a litany of questions and concerns about him. So I don't feel as great about the receiver depth.
I walked in on a very weird moment with Bob Stelton in the studio, but it was hilarious, and I have some evidence. That's next with Mike Salk.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Mike Salk joining us now, brought to you by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer. Mike, Tyler Lockett got paid.
Well, you want to talk about Tyler Lockett today?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. I just assumed we'd be talking about the picture of Bob Stelton that was put out yesterday on
Twitter.
Hold on a
minute. I didn't tell you guys this, but I have more photos.
More shirtless photos. Bob photos?
Yeah, because I walked in there to talk to Mike Lefko, who is their producer. So for anyone who doesn't know, we got all these like fun kind of giveaway things from the Mariners, and among them were these t-shirts. And so I open my little bag first, and I see it's a youth extra large, and I start laughing because I'm small. And so I think that, like, the Mariners have done me a solid, and they've given Jake a normal human size shirt and then have given me a youth size shirt. And I thought, wow, how funny.
No.
Then Jake takes his out, and it's also a youth extra large.
Yes.
So then we're laughing. We kind of forget about it. We go about our day. I come back at, like, 3 to talk to Lefko. And he's not in the control room.
No.
He's in the studio, and he's taking a picture and filming Bob Stelton as he's trying to fit this youth extra large Hawaiian t-shirt over his body, but he can't button it. And Wyman has both hands through it over his head, and he can't bring his hands down, and he looks like a weird, like, moose with arms for antlers. Like, he can't bring his arms down. So anyways, I took lots of pictures of it.
Bob seems so upset to have to show off that body to the world.
I guess I'll flex these abs.
Oh, so challenging. The six-pack. Now, I assumed that what with Jake, you know, working towards his American Ninja Warrior spot, I assumed that the shirtless Jake picture would be next.
No, I'm much more modest, Salk. Oh. I don't like to, you know, show that off.
Jake, when he goes shirtless, he wears, like, chains around. Remember that picture at Miami?
Yes. That's the only way.
More of a shirtless chain picture.
Correct. And you got to have the essential oils to, you know, really make the muscles pop.
Now, Jake, correct me if I'm wrong. Were you not on a beach with a bunch of other Seahawks receivers wearing socks with sandals and also a shirt?
I saw that.
Yes. We've been over this many times. There were lots of sticks and lots of rocks, and everybody was complaining about it.
Okay.
And I was the only smart one to keep socks.
Here's what I want to see.
You got it.
I want to see shirtless Stelton with the chains.
And like a hammer.
Yeah.
Sledgehammer.
Hey, if you provide it, I guarantee you he'll be all for it. Bob's, he's not going to deny you.
Bob's bringing new meaning to the rear naked choke. That's all I know.
The youth large is just the schmedium that he's used to wearing anyways.
It's true.
Sorry to hijack you guys. That's my fault.
It's not a step down.
Sorry.
But, Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, so Lockett. What,
speaking of,
a lot of money.
Youth large
17
sizes.
Mil per year, four-year deal. I mean, that's a big contract I was not expecting.
That's a lot of money and a lot of commitment to a guy that we all agreed, like, yeah, trade him. Like, okay. They obviously see that one very differently. And you know, he's a wide receiver, just, what, 30 years old now? So going to play this deal into his almost mid-30s. Oh, he's only 28?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought he was 30.
Maybe
I'm sorry.
Not. Let me look up.
I thought he was 30.
Yeah, I think he's 29 or 30.
He's 28.
28. That makes it a little bit better. All right. Sorry about that. Sorry, Tyler. I don't mean to throw a couple extra years on
you.
He
just celebrated his golden birthday. That's so disrespectful.
I don't mean to throw a little extra on him. Sorry about that. It's more than I would have expected, but I hope that this is a nod towards the comfort that he and Russell sure have seemed to have together, right? I mean, you had their, what, perfect quarterback rating together a couple of years ago. I thought last year was not his best season. He wasn't bad. I thought he tailed off a little bit late in the year. And I know their whole offense tailed off late in the year, but if you were asking me some of the reasons why, I know the offensive line's getting a lot of grief, the running at this, that, and the other. I don't know. I didn't see him making as many plays as he did earlier in the season. I don't know if he was dealing with an injury. I don't know whether they just weren't looking his way. So I guess that surprised me a little bit, given that it seemed like he was as part of the issues that they had late in the year as anybody. And I don't say it as a shot. Lockett's awesome. Great hands. Finds ways to get open. He's a playmaker. What did I read today? He has one fumble in his whole career. It was a muffed punt as a rookie.
Yeah.
I think I saw that from field goal. So, yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot to like about Tyler Lockett. I will admit to being a little surprised. And this is fine. I don't dislike it. I just don't want to hear next year that they can't get something done with DK Metcalf because they don't have enough money.
Yeah.
Because if you have to choose between a, what, next year 29, 30-year-old Tyler Lockett and a young DK Metcalf, this shouldn't be a choice.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a choice, and I don't think it will be. I don't think you make this decision putting that at risk whatsoever. I think DK Metcalf, if you're the Seahawks, is at the forefront of your mind when you're talking about contracts and the outlook of your team for over the next few years. DK Metcalf's got to be right there at the top. So I have to imagine that this deal was in mind. And one of the big positives about it is we looked at Tyler Lockett's cap hit this year, and it was $11 million. Now you're able to maneuver your money. You're able to move a lot of that into a signing bonus. You're able to spread that out over 4 years. And I'm going to be very curious to see what the details of the contract look like, because 4 years is a big commitment. But we'll see if there's any potential outs or things along those lines. But if you're talking about a deal of one of the sure things that you could be as an organization, Tyler Lockett's produced for you, and he's been a consummate Seahawk. He has been a total pro throughout his career here. So I think that this is an easy contract to give if you're the front office without much fanfare or drama. Now, one of the things that I wonder about as you move forward is one of the critiques, and literally when I was walking in the door, song. One of the things I was going to talk about on the air was the lack of movement or the lack of deals being done to rework contracts, and why is that? And part of the reason was my thinking that they're trying to work so hard to protect their cap space for the following year, that they're doing everything that they can. Would that bother you if they were trying to protect that cap space as much as possible? For the following year? Because they'll have like 25-plus guys that they have to sign the following year. Would you be okay with that if they continued to just make, you know, standard moves that didn't really move the needle?
Yeah, it's like another year of Russell Wilson's prime, right? I mean,
right.
You've got to take advantage of those years. But Russ says he's going to play till what, 45?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they need to set themselves up to get back to the Super Bowl as soon as possible. If this is the best path to do it, I'm happy to wait a year. Like, I'm willing to kind of take the long game on things like this. I do think that you got Russell in his prime, and you better take advantage of those years. But I've got a level of trust that their goal is to get back to a Super Bowl, and that needs to be the focal point. And if the best way to do that is to make sure you've got as much cap space for next year as possible, I'm willing to hang out.
We haven't even talked to you yet about the 17-game schedule, because yesterday we had Shannon on. Obviously, we previewed the Mariners season opener coming up tomorrow. Do you think that this is just we were talking about how it just feels like a step toward 18, with 18 being just what we all know the league is going to. I know that there's a conversation already to be had about the players in the NFL not having as much power compared to other unions. So set that conversation aside. How do you as a fan feel about it?
How can I not like it? I know everybody hates it because you're supposed to hate it because it's the NFL making changes. And generally, I hate things like that because I want things to be exactly as they were in 1996.
It's a great year.
But, like, it's an extra game of football. What, am I going to get mad? Like, how mad could I possibly be? Is it going to deteriorate the level of play? I used to hate Thursday night football. Right? Everyone did. We all hated Thursday night. It was stupid, and the game stink.
Right. Remember all the players, they were arguing about how awful it was?
And then, like, a couple of years ago, it just changed, and now Thursday night football's great.
Yeah.
Like,
no complaints.
All of a sudden, one day, it was just that whole, all the bad games on Thursday night just, like, evaporated, and now Thursday night football is just as good as any other night of football. So, like, what, am I going to complain about more football? Oh, the Super Bowl is going to be a little bit later? Okay.
Yeah.
I have to take my vacation a week later instead of, like, the 15th. I've got to take my vacation February 22nd. Like, yeah, all right. Like, yeah. I don't know. I'm finding it difficult to work up anger towards an extra game of football. Now, if I were the Players Association, I mean, that's on them. They have an incredibly weak group. But I also think if I were a player, and I think Jamal Adams done some of this, distinguish yourself. Be like, yeah, let's go. More football. Mm-hmm. I love playing football. Okay, you want me to play another game? Let's go. I mean, I want you to pay me for it, obviously, so I assume that my paycheck is going to go up by 1/16th. But other than that, like, yeah, right, let's go. More football.
Right.
I love playing football.
Well, and this is just a conduit. I mean, we all know this. This is just a conduit to eventually get you to 18 games.
Yeah, and then take away two preseason games. What's the problem?
Right.
Who doesn't want that? Don't you want to go to two preseason games and have two extra regular season games to talk about and watch and care about and everything else? Yes, please.
I want that. That in addition to any health concerns players would have for two extra games, part of it would be, are we getting paid for two extra games, or are you dividing my current salary, my current contract? I mean,
they're
going
to have to. They're
going
to have to. They're absolutely going to have to work their way through that. And right. I hope that they get. I haven't seen all the details on that. It's the NFL, so they'll probably steamroll the players on that one.
Of course. Yes.
But at the end of the day, like, it's more football. I'm not going to get upset.
He is Mike Salk, part of the Brock and Salk podcast. I believe that's the only place you guys know him from.
Yes.
Mike Salk of the Brock and Salk podcast. New episode just dropped last night, by the way. Go download it. BrockandSalkPodcast.com. Thanks, Mike.
See ya.
All right, we're going to find out a bit more about this Tyler Lockett extension next with Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
All right, we've got a four-year extension for wide receiver Tyler Lockett and another extension for guard Gabe Jackson. Let's make some sense of it with the Seattle Times Seahawks reporter Bob Condotta joining us now on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline. Bob, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. We appreciate you joining us last minute. Had some breaking news this morning, obviously, so we're sure you're busy. We're just going to take up about 10 minutes of your time here so we can understand this. So I'll start with this. In your article on the Seattle Times covering Tyler Lockett's extension, you said the Seahawks for years don't normally do extensions this early in the offseason. Any idea why this one for Lockett came at this time?
I think so they could lower the cap hit in 2021. And create some room that they need now to fit in the things they've done and just kind of have some room going forward for everything. You know, the draft picks, they only have three of them, but the draft picks and things like that that are coming up. So I think it might have been a handy way to do that. So until we see the full details, it's hard to know completely what the cap hit's going to be. But I'm sure this was structured in a way to bring that down quite a bit. So I think that was probably why in this one. And it might have been one also that just I think that's the main impetus was to do something now to break down the cap hit. We've seen them do some things they haven't done before, with the voidable years, and I think at least five different contracts already that have had void years. That's something they've never done before. With everybody being up against the cap this year because it's lower, and then the Seahawks were sort of up against it anyway. They weren't going to have a lot of cap room going into the year, even in a normal year. They've just had to do some things a little bit out of the ordinary this year.
Now, Bob, you mentioned that the cap hits, and it wasn't just Tyler Lockett, it was Gabe Jackson as well, that they reworked his deal. Now, they've been able to get these two deals done, obviously trying to lower those cap hits. Now, Bob, the big question is, are these cap hits been lowered enough? And we won't know exactly with the Tyler deal until we get the details, but in your estimation, do you believe that they'll have made enough cap relief where they can continue to go out into the market and continue to keep making moves, or have they created just enough cap relief to get them under the cap?
Well, I think they'll have some. I mean, Gabe Jackson, we basically know it. That brought it down from 9.6 to about 4.1. So that's $5.5 million. So that's significant. And I would assume it's going to be pretty significant in Tyler Lockett's deal as well. I think it's both here. I do think there's a few things they'd still like to get done. I mean, I don't think there's anything really major. I mean, most of the big guys are off the market. So, you know, most of the guys you'd be spending a lot of money for at this point are sort of not around anymore. But, you know, I think re-signing Quentin Dunbar, we'll see about KJ Wright. That's a big question to me. Is obviously, you know, unfortunately, I guess KJ wasn't a huge priority, or I think it'd be done already. We're more than 2 weeks out of free agency already. And he's reportedly talking to Dallas, which is a team I know he's always been enamored with kind of growing up down that way. So we'll see, but you know, maybe this does create some room to get something done with one or both of those guys. I think of their remaining free agents, I think that those are sort of the main guys you'd have to spend any amount of money on. But you know, they always like to have some as well, you know, sort of walking around money. As John Snyder always says, you know, to have some flexibility to do some things as things happen. You know, you get to June 1 and some more guys become available. You get into training camp and there's always guys that become available. And some of it is just that too, is just kind of creating room. So you have some room in case things come up.
This Hour of Jake and Stacy is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. You're listening to Jake and Stacy, and we're talking with Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times. Bob, you also said that a major priority, presumably the next big move they'd make, would be extending Jamal Adams. I have a really hard time seeing them not do that. There's just a lot on the line here. When would you expect them to make that move? Before the draft? After the draft?
I've sort of thought all along just after the draft. Again, that's typically when they've done these things. Almost every extension they've ever done, and Gabe Jackson's, I think, is a different one, because I think that's a guy they traded for with, this is what we're going to do. You know, that was sort of a condition of the trade kind of thing, that this is how we're going to do this, sort of like with Dunlap last year and things like that. So I don't necessarily count that one as being at a different time. But with guys who've been on their roster, you know, they've typically done these things more so in the late spring and or in summer, right before camp. You know, Bobby Wagner's was right before training camp these last couple of years. Russell's first one was. Russell set the April deadline for his other one. Otherwise, I think they would have waited to have done that one a little bit later. But, you know, Tyler Lockett and Dwayne Brown and Cam Chancellor and ones like that, I'm remembering, were all sort of done right early in training camp. And that's sort of typically often been the way they've done things. You know, you sort of get through the building of your most immediate season, and then you sort of work on extensions that affect years after that. So I still think in Jamal Adams' case, that's maybe the deal, because maybe they don't feel like in his, it's one that, you know, maybe A, it's not going to be as easy to do as with Tyler Lockett, who's the guy I think probably was pretty amenable staying. Not that Jamal Adams isn't going to be, I just think Jamal's really going to, you know, look for a big contract here. And that, also, I think that, like I say, with the cap hit, I think with Tyler, I think there was some motivation there. I think that was one that was going to be easier to do, to bring that down some and create some cap space now.
He is Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times. Best in the biz, you guys. Make sure you're following him and read his latest article about this Tyler Lockett news at seattletimes.com. Thanks so much, Bob.
Okay. Oh,
thanks, Bob.
Thanks.
We are taking you around the diamond thanks to Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. We're just one day away from opening day. 710 will be broadcasting live from T-Mobile Park.
Let's go.
Starting at 11 a.m.
Can't wait to be there
us,
tomorrow. Come on.
Jake and Stacy. And Curtis is there.
Woo!
Tomorrow.
Yes.
And that's Around the Diamond, brought to you by the Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. We're getting you guys ready for opening day, by the way, with Root Sports' Ryan Roland Smith. That's next.